And Parashah talks about a number of dreams, two dreams this week, a couple of dreams next week, and then throughout Tanakh we find these dreams. I'm recording. Yeah, I'm recording. But you can also, if you want. Unfortunately, in our shiur, in our Rosh Hashanah shiur, the past 2 days, the recorder shut off in the middle. I don't know why. It has battery, it has space, but we lost two shiurim in Rosh Hashanah shiur, which I get in trouble for because people email him, random people email him saying, how come there's a shiur missing? How come the source is missing for this shiur from like last year? I'm like, I was asleep. I didn't make this spreadsheet. What do you want me to do? I couldn't do anything. Shem Yazar. So it's always good to have a backup. Whatever. Okay. So the number of dreams in this week's parasha and next week's parasha and beyond, we find them throughout Tanakh. And it's we see it as a way that the Ribono Shel Olam is trying to communicate something nevuah-esque, some prophecy-type thing to us in a medium other than what we would think is actual prophecy. Right? When we think of a prophet, we think of a nevuah, like think like eyes glowing, mouth open, you know, Hashem speaking through his voice, Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, midamer pni mitoch rono shel Moshe Rabbeinu. Sometimes we get a dream and we're asleep, and it's somehow some sort of communication between us and the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what happened in the parasha. Hashem was giving a hint to what would be in the future. So it's a question of how much importance do we give to dreams? There are a number of Gemaras that I want to learn with you tonight. About five Gemaras, a couple of funny stories, strange stories, and a practical outlook on how to approach dreams and other such heavenly, divine media that Hashem uses to interact with us in a more direct way than general Hashgacha. So number one is the Gemara in Masechet Berachot. We learned in one shiur, we learned last year, Masechet Berachot. The very end of the Masechet, the last perek, very easy to break up Masechet Berachot into a number of sections. The first two perakim, Hilchot Kriyat Shema. Second two perakim, Hilchot Tefillah. And after that is Hilchot Birkot HaNehenin, in the sixth perek. And then you have Birkat HaMazon, in the seventh perek. And then the eighth perek, you have random Berachot, but really one central theme. It's Perek HaRoeh. I see something. I see a Talmid Chacham, you say a Beracha. I see a rainbow, you say a Beracha. It's a continuation of the idea of Berachot into sight-related things. Birkot HaShevach, not Birkot HaNehenin, not things that I enjoy, experience physically, but rather I sense with a different one of my senses, my sight. So in that parak, the Gemara tells us about dreams. So the Gemara tells us about how sometimes the Gemara says you might have a dream with something in it. So the Gemara says, no. We don't pay attention to dreams. Kishem is the second line in the source, middle of the line. El Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan had a tradition from Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Kishem she'i efshar lebar b'lo teven. Just like you can't have some wheat with your chaff with your wheat, some garbage mixed in. Kach efshar lechalom b'lo dvarim b'telim. You might see a dream, and you might be convinced that it's so special that all these details are so important. Don't think that everything is so critical. Some things are just mixed in just to throw you off. So not everything is so critical in your dream. So Amar Rabbi Berachia, he'll prove it to you. Chalom, afa pisha miksato kayemet, a dream, so even though some parts of it will come true, kulo einam mitkayem, not all of the dream will come true. What's the proof? This week's parasha? Exactly. Minalan mi Yosef. We learn from Yosef. Sorry, Hofensky, not you. But different Yosef, other Yosef is Tzadik. So, Dichtiv, Vehine Hashemesh Vehayareach Vechad Achasar Kochavim, Yishtachavim Li. So, what's the problem with this pasuk? Exactly. Rachel's not there anymore. There's no more Yareach. Hashemesh is Yaakov Avinu. Yareach is Rachel. Where is the Yareach? She's not there. So, you might say the whole dream is garbage. No. Part of the dream is the Ve'ayim B'Telim, but not the entire thing, and the rest of it came true. In fact, the Gemara tells us, two dafim later, source number two, Chalom, Echad Mishishin LeNevuah, a dream is 1/60th of Nevuah. So clearly there is an importance, but a limited importance to the dreams that we have. Or at least not all of the dreams, but some dreams that we have could have tremendous ramifications.
Why not all?
So let's look at the next Gemara, why not all? Good, that's a very good question.
I read in a book that it says that sleeping is like 1/60th of
death. That's a line before. I cut it out. It's a line before. Good. It's a line before. It's a whole list of 60ths. So one of them is Echad Mishishim Shalmita Shena. So let's learn this Gemara in Sanhedrin. The third source. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Sanhedrin, all about Hilchot Eidut. So Harei Shiraot Avien Sheitmin Ma'ot B'Shida Teval Migdal. Children saw their father hide money in a Shida, Teva, or a Migdal. It's three different words basically for a big container. You learn Masechet Shabbat in the first third, Daf Mem Vav, and also the very last Daf, Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. The Gemara like three, four times uses this series of large containers. For Hilchot Tumah and Tahara purposes, Mukseh purposes, basically it's a very big box. So, the Amar Shel Peloni Hen, the father put the money there and he told the children, if the money belongs to so-and-so, Shelomar Aser Sheini Hen, the money is not Mutar B'Hana'a, or at least it's not, if the mitzvah is for to take the money to Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim, spend it on meat and wine, and eat it in Yerushalayim. So, Im Kimoser, if the father is instructing his children, you can't eat this. It's Maaser Sheni money. It belongs to so-and-so, he's serious. Devarav Kayamin, believe what the father said. After he dies, children want to use the money, the children have to follow what the father says. He said it belongs to so-and-so, belongs to so-and-so, can't do anything. But Im Kima'arim, he's like, kids, with a big wink, this belongs to so-and-so. We can't touch that. It's like, you know, someone comes over, he's like, whoa, you have a bottle of, I don't know, whatever fancy vodka. Can I have a taste? Like, oh, no, it belongs to Maaser Sheni. We can't use it here. You have to take it to Yerushalayim. They're trying to, like, you know, fake it to get away from giving it to a guest. So the kids, they have to believe this or not. So it depends on the inflection, on his voice. If he's trying to fake it, he's trying to be sly. So you don't, lo amar klum, the Gemara says. So second line, this is the case that matters to us. Let's say a father dies. Children can't find any of the money. They know their father is a millionaire. Where's the money? The son can't find. He's mitzta'er. He's upset. He doesn't know, where's the money that my father left me? The baal ha-chalom, the master of dreams, or the person in the dream, let's figure that out, came to him. The amru, told him in the dream, kach ve-kachin, there's this much money, ve-makom pelonihen, it's in that place, back alley, in the dig in the spot where the X is on the map, etc. Exactly where to dig, but shel maaser shenihen or shel pelonihen, it belongs to maaser sheni. What do you do? Zehayim maaser, the Gemara says, they had such a case. They went and they found it in the exact spot where the dream told them the money was, and he had no idea of knowing where it was otherwise. The dream told him where it was, and he found $1 million. It's crazy. Do you believe the dream? Amru, says the Gemara, the Chachamim said, Divrei Chalamot, huh? You can keep it, exactly. Divrei Chalamot, exactly. So, lo ma'alin, lo moridin. Doesn't go up, doesn't go down, doesn't make a single ounce of a difference. You can do whatever you want with the money, and it's totally fine. So it seems like, on the one hand, dreams are semi-important, they're true, at least 1/60th, or some, most of it, if not just some parts of it, are extra. On the other hand, we're not choshesh for this dream at all. What's going on? It's a little bit of a stira. So how do you meet? You know, shev the stira. I'll teach you one more gemara, but anyone have an idea first? How do you resolve this difference of attitude towards dreams?
Certain types of dreams, maybe that one consists of possible nevuah. Certain types probably aren't.
Okay, so I can think of three answers that fit that answer, that fit that description.
You never listen.
It's
never real. You listen. If you get lucky, you're lucky.
You can't be so much on it. But if it happens, it happens. But in this case, it happened. They found the money. So do you have to listen now?
No, you got lucky.
Oh, so you never listen to dreams. That's basically what you're saying.
Never listen.
Okay, maybe Ryan, can you sharpen your? That's one approach. Seder. Anyone who tells you it's something in a dream, the Rambam says Navi Sheker. Seder. Good. And maybe you have a more sharp approach of let's be Ashkenazi. We don't look at things black and white. We distinguish. We try to get things a little bit clearer, a little bit sharper. Instead of saying two Gemaras, okay, there's a steer in Gemaras. Shkoya, tear this one out of Shas.
Maybe
throw it in the garbage.
No,
we hold like that one. You're saying no, we hold like all the Gemaras. You have to explain them. Yeah.
Maybe something that has no nafkamina to anything in life. Okay, you had a dream that there's a fruit on the table over here. Okay, what's enough? Okay, but something maybe that has an nafkamina that. Something could change the life,
right.
Something with Torah, the mitzvah,
right.
Something that actually is an nafkamina in life. Maybe
So sharpen, what's the nafkamina?
You feel it, you know.
What does that mean to feel it? I'll just push one more time. What context does it matter in?
If you ask before.
Ask before, okay.
Not ask, if you thought, whatever, if you, it was a thought in your head before.
Okay. So maybe that would confound the whole thing. The Bar Panel says in the next week's parasha that what you eat influences what you dream. Right? You have a really intense goal on one night, you can have a really big nightmare. So what does that mean? You feel it. You had the thoughts about the dream?
Before the dream.
Yeah? So maybe that's that. Adarabha, that it says why you shouldn't trust the dream, because it's just your mind, you know, replaying what you thought about, or rethinking what you thought about. Okay, so we'll get to a clearer definition soon.
I want to see if I can answer. Because next week, Parashat doesn't work out. Because they weren't thinking about anything.
Kings are always thinking about things. I don't know.
They're not kings, they're servants.
Oh, the servants. I was talking at the beginning of the Parashat. You're talking about the end of the Parashat. I hear. Okay, that's funny. We have to figure out all the dreams. Maybe those dreams are Dvarim B'Tehillim. Gemara says that essentially the pitaron of a dream is beyond the interpreter. Well, the interpretation is up to the interpreter. The Gemara tells a very funny story about Abaye and Rava, who met this guy named Barpada, I think was his name. So Barpada had a shingle, he hung up on outside his store, dream interpreter. Abaye and Rava had the same dream one night. So they go to him, they tell him the dream, and this happens, It's an end of Brachot, yeah. So he tells him, they tell him like 10 or so dreams, and each one, it's the exact same thing, both of them. Abaye gets a good interpretation, and Rava gets a terrible one. Abaye gets like children and money and everything, and Abaye's children get killed, and Rava's children get killed, and he loses his money, gets burned, etc.
How can it be?
So the Gemara says that they were following him, and one time they found a piece of paper fall out of his pocket. It said that the interpretation of the dream is up to the interpreter. So the Rava says, "What's wrong with?" And then they paid him to give a better interpretation than he did, and it worked. And it made sense. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Why did you mess me over for the past 10 dreams? Okay, so at the end of the day is that interpretation of a dream is up to the interpreter. So that's also important. That's great. So you have to always find, halakha is when you have a bad dream, go find people to do hatavat chalom to interpret the dream for you in a positive way. So halakha lema said, but we don't have so many dreams, so it's not so matsui. But that's...
What's considered a bad dream?
I don't know, something that's so lucid that you wake up shivering? I don't know.
Doesn't it say in the Gemara like
that? Yeah. Gemara tells you. Yeah, the Gemara tells you a bunch of cases. Right. Right, right. So all these things are part of the general calculation of how do you look at dreams. The Gemara tells you all, if you see this, you should be concerned. If you see this, you should be happy.
So what does that have to do with those?
Good question. So the question of what is the purpose, what's the dream telling you? The dream is just telling you, you know, like, it's not going to be sunny tomorrow, you should invest in you know, whatever, agriculture, so that you, solar panels. So I don't think that's so bad. But what if a dream comes and tells you the halakha? Or what a mitzvah should be, or how to observe halakha? So, do we say lobe shamayimi? So let's get there. But let's get first to general dreams, general concerns for dreams. Should we be concerned? Should we be happy with dreams? Should not be happy with dreams? And then the next step will be, what about when it comes to dreams and halakha? And other media of Hashem. Source number 4 is our last source about dreams. The Gemara tells us, I'll tell it to you outside. The Gemara tells, because I realized earlier today that there's like two lines in the middle that are unnecessary also. So the Gemara tells us in Masachah Nedarim. What's Masachah Nedarim about?
Nedarim.
What kind of Nedarim?
All of them.
No. That's the first Tosfot, the first Rosh, and the first... Tosfot Yishanim, and maybe the first Ran also in Masachah Nedarim, is that there are different types of Nedarim. This is only about Nidrei Isur. There's Nidrei Hektesh, I give something to be Isur, to be like Hektesh, and you have to give it to the Kohanim, there's Charamot, and then there's Nidrei Isur.
Nidarim is about Nidrei Isur.
There's the Machlok, if Charamot are different or not. Let's just say for now, Nidrei Hektesh means I'm going to give something to the Beit HaMikdash. Oh, where is it found? I think Masechet Arachin, but I'm not really sure. 100%. I haven't learned Shas yet. One day, is that Hashem. So, Nidrei Yisur are very interesting. And as a side topic of Nidrei Yisur, the Gemara talks about Nidui also. The Gemara in Daftel talks about Nidui. We can excommunicate somebody. So the Gemara says, Niduhu b'chalom. He gets excommunicated in dream. In the middle of a dream, he sees the so-and-so standing in front of him, blows a shofar with a beit din, you're in Nidui. And Nidui basically means that it's a curse that you should die. So, what do you do? Gemara says, when you wake up, go find a Beit Din to do Hatarat Klalot, to do Hatarat Nidui, to get you out of this, to save your life. And the Gemara says, what if I know who it was? Can I go ask him? to do it for me? No, Gemara says. What if I know in the dream I saw him be matir me, says the Gemara. So Gemara says, maybe he was only Shaliach Hashem in the dream to do the nidui, but not the hatara. So therefore, that's not good enough. So the Gemara says, so what are you supposed to do? Let's get hatara. But what if they did hatara for you in your dream, says the Gemara? Gemara says, you have to be choshesh. Says, look at the last line of the Gemara, second to last line at the end. Amar le Rav Acha, and source number 4, the Rav Ashay, Shamte, v'sharu le v'chalmei, they put him in Shamta, they nidui, excommunicated the guy in the dream, and then they released him of it, in the middle of the dream, what do you mai? Amar le, kishem she'i yashar le bar v'lo tevin, this is a line from Merachot, just like you have bar in tevin, kach yashar l'chalom, below is the bar in v'telim. We're concerned. Maybe the part of the dream that you got the hatara in is the Devarim B'Telim. So you got the choshesh that machmir both sides. A, you got the neder, and B, the part that doesn't count in the dream is the hatara of the nidui, of the shamta. Gotta go get a beit din to do hatara for you. Maser sheni, we're not concerned. For a nidui, a cherem, a shamta, we're still concerned. Hello, what's going on?
Before, yeah. You said that the money you keep, and it also said that the money right. was for Maser Sheni.
So why aren't you concerned, though? What's wrong? Why is it that in this case we're concerned, in the other case we're not concerned?
Yeah.
No? Can we draw some lines now? A little bit sharper, yeah? Devar mitzvah, as meaning more, what kind of mitzvah? Yisur.
Why are we saying that because of what we said in the beginning, brachot, that something has to be not true from the dream, that it's that part that there was a hatara. Why can't we say it's that part that he got excommunicated?
Could be, but for some reason the Gemara is so concerned that we're not willing to take that stance. We have to be choshesh the other way.
Safek derabanan nekula, it's not a...
Safek derabanan, it's safek isura, my life is at stake. Safek sakantas, chamira sakantami, so we're so more concerned when it comes to sakana. If they're putting me in nidui, mina shamayim, they sent a message to me that I'm in nidui, I'm going to die. I have to be concerned. Hear the question? So that's one of the answers. The Shivat Zion, the son of the Nodav Yehuda, Shivat Zion, quotes the Sabar Ben El about, the Golan is what gives you the dreams. The Golan is what gives you the dreams. The Bar Ben El is the one who says that in the next week's parasha, at length, apparently. And then the Shivat Zion says it depends. When it comes to monetary matters, such as who owns this money, we don't have to worry about the dreams. But when it comes to physical sakana issues, isur issues, such as a nidu and chayrim, whatever, so then we have to be concerned for the dreams. We do take them seriously. Before him, the Tashbetz. Tashbetz was a student of the Ran. Or at least he was a student of the Ran. He lived in Spain, then he moved to Algeria from Mallorca. He moved to Algeria from Mallorca because there was some persecution in 1392, 100 years before the expulsion. And he moved to Algeria, and he wrote a sefer, Rabbeinu Shimon ben Tzemach Duran. Hashbetz is Shimon ben Tzemach. So, Hashbetz writes in his Shelot Tshuvot a different interpretation. When you should be machmir, sometimes he says there are two types of dreams. Some dreams are, all dreams are from Shemayim. The question is, who pushed the button to put a dream in your head? Was it a malach who was trying to do you a favor by telling you the truth? Or was it a demon who was trying to mess you over by confusing you, tricking you into believing something?
How do we know that?
So you don't know. So when it comes to monetary things, don't worry, it's probably a demon. But when it comes to my life, sakana, yisur, so then you have to be concerned.
Who says this?
This is the Tashbetz.
That if it's something that's like sakana to your life, that you have to be worried about, but something that's not...
Right. When it comes to sakana, we're concerned that maybe it's a malach who's telling me the truth.
Why do you keep saying Isur?
Isur? Because getting hana'a from, Maaser is not an Isur, I think. But so why do I keep saying Isur? Because I'm living in the world of Nidre Isur. I just turned Nidarian last year. Let me take it out and we'll just say sakana for now. But maybe Maaser, also...
Maaser,
I don't think there's an Isur to eat Maaser Sheni outside. Maybe Isur Aseh.
They
might... Lo achalti menu me'oni is what it says in the Torah. Or, no. Next line, after lo achalti menu be'oni. I'm not sure. I guess there isn't a law for eating Maaser Sheni. outside of Yerushalayim. I have to double check. Okay. But Sakana, let's just say Sakana for now. Maybe when I learned it, I saw the word Yisur a number of times, and I'm just forgetting the right context for the word Yisur. But let's just say Sakana for now is when we're concerned. Not Yisur. The Tashbetz is in Chelik Aleph, Siman Kuf Chav Chet, I think, if you want to write it down. It might be Chelik Bet, I forgot. But it's definitely Siman Kuf Chav Chet. And then the Shivat Zion is in Siman Nun Bet. I didn't write either of those on the source sheet. But I had to keep it short. The Tashbetz is like 20 pages long. I didn't learn it. I heard it from a Shechter, and when you look on the Tosafot, on the Ran and Nidarim, and also the Sugyan Sanhedrin, Rabbi Kiva Eger on the side, cites it. So there's this. Either way, so we show you how there's three Gemaras that seem to give some limited importance to dreams, and then some less importance to dreams. When it comes to Sakana, we are concerned, whether it be because of the Malach who's trying to help us out, or because of general Sakana versus Mamon, we're more concerned when it comes to Sakana. There's this very crazy, wild story about Rav Chaim Volozhiner, a student of the Vilna Gaon. Rav Chaim Volozhiner was approached by a wagon driver who said that I had a dream that I can't take this road. Imagine you're coming from Great Neck to IU. The main way that you get here is Cross Island, Cross Bronx, and you're boom, you're here. It's pretty Northern Boulevard, Cross Island, Cross Bronx. Pretty simple. Sometimes you'll go to Clearview or FDR or RFK Bridge, but usually that's what you do, right? So what happens if the wagon driver comes and says, I had a dream that I was taking the Cross Bronx and I died. Not because it's the Bronx, but whatever it is, because I died. What do I do, Rabbi? What would you tell him?
Don't take it.
Right? Not because it's the Bronx, because of the dream, right?
Why not?
Sakana. Rav Chaim Volozhiner told him, take it. And what happened?
He died.
No way. He died.
It's not funny.
And then the family comes over to him. 250 years ago. 200 years ago. Rav Chaim Volozhiner. The family comes over to him. He's like, you killed our father. You told him to take the road. He wasn't supposed to take it. And they're like, and the Rav Chaim Volozhiner is like, "Divrei Chalamot, Einan Ma'alin, Einan Moridin." Doesn't change anything. So if you ask me again, I'll still tell him. If someone else asks me, I'll tell him also to take the road. So you're like, it's against the Tashbetz, right? So that's what they ask in the storybooks also. It's against the Tashbetz. It's against this whole thing. But it's a crazy story. I actually put the source for the story for you. For some reason, I felt like. That's what they should have said. And in the footnotes, source number 5 is the story is a little bit crooked, but yeah.
What does the Rav Chaim Volozhiner said? What's the...
He said, go again. He said, if he would ask me again, I would say, go again. He's a dead.
Why is that, what's the rule that he found?
Like? He followed the general, we don't care about dreams, attitude. But it seems like he missed this Tashbet, which is crazy. It's crazy. This is a story from Rav Shach. And Rav Shach, from Bnei Brak, right. So I put it in source for you in source number 5. I don't remember why, but for some reason I didn't copy the footnote that says Tzarech Iyun, it's against the Tashbetz.
Oh, there's a footnote.
Footnote in the storybook that says it's against the Tashbetz. Okay, whatever, fine. Now, let's move along. I have to keep going. That was it for dreams. Now, there are other ways for the Ribono Shel Olam to communicate with us, right? Can anyone name a few?
Prophecy.
Right. What did you say?
Prophecy.
Nivuah. Good, prophecy. Yeah, next. Elf?
Miracles.
Miracles, okay, good. Bat Kol. Ruach HaKodesh. Anything else? No, good. One more. Eliyahu Navi. Good.
What does that mean?
Eliyahu Navi comes and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do X, Y, or Z. It happens
today,
no? Sometimes.
It might happen.
It might happen. You read through the Safrut of Chazal and from the Rishonim and Achronim, you find a whole literature of experiences that people have had with Bat Kols, with Eliyahu Navi, with miracles, with Ruach HaKodesh, dreams, the whole gamut. There's a story, Rav Avadia, I heard from Rav Yitzchak Yosef 5 years ago on Chol HaMoed Sukkot in Rav Avadia's house. Rav Avadia was sick. I went to him Motzei Shabbat for the Shiur, Chol HaMoed Sukkot. And 5 years ago, 6 years ago, okay, whatever it is. 6 years ago. So 6 years ago then. Yeah, it's the year before. 6 years ago I went, and we went for Rav Avadia, and when Rav Yitzchak Yosef came out as the first speaker, We were like so happy. We had father and son in one night. This is the best thing, right?
Oh, you didn't know Ravadia wasn't
going
to see you?
And then he kept going, looking at his watch, and then he kept going, looking at his watch again, and then he just kept going. Ravadia never came out. He wasn't feeling well. Okay. So we missed Ravadia that time. But Yitzhak Yosef spoke, and when he speaks, he's literally just reading for you a Yaakov Yosef paragraph after paragraph after paragraph. He doesn't change. He has his own nusach, he has the way he says things, he has his shir. You can just read Yaakov Yosef page after page, it's literally exactly how his shir goes. Footnotes, yeah. Topic to topic, all the side topics that he goes into, like tangents he does in the footnotes, he does the same thing in shir also. The exact same thing. Yeah, no, he says it. But he says it that way. That's how he gets shir. His shir is literally what he's written down without the book in front of him. That's how he gets shir. It's pretty awesome. But okay, Shechter does the same thing. So Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef said that Ravadia was a Pashtan. He didn't buy into the whole Kabbalah business when it comes to washing your hands in the morning, nagel plaster by your bed, because he felt it comes at a cost. Because when you're going to wash your hands in the morning right away, you have to go to the bathroom, you can't make a beracha. So don't make a bracha, right? Oh, so if you don't make a bracha now, you're going to go to the bathroom after you wash your hands out of beracha. You'll come out of the bathroom, you'll go to the sink, you'll wash your hands. That beracha you make now, according to the Rambam, is a beracha l'vatala. So Ravadia says it's better to be machmir for the Rambam, go to the bathroom without washing your hands first, and then come out and wash with the beracha, then to be machmir for the Arizal, and wash your hands right away when you wake up. That was Ravadia's shita, and that's how he did. In the morning, you wake up, get dressed, go to the bathroom, come to the kitchen sink, wash his hands, and then go on with his day.
And then
say the berachot afterwards, yeah.
Like, he got dressed to say the beracha.
That too, yeah. He had to get dressed also. So he didn't go wash his hands in his pajamas, come back and get dressed after saying berachot. He got dressed, everything, and then when he got to the kitchen, he went to wash his hands.
But he still had, two hands.
Yeah, he didn't mind. Didn't bother him as much.
What's the story, yeah?
So the story is that one morning, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Zatzal sees Ravadia jump out of bed, out of their bedroom, run to the kitchen sink in his pajamas, and go wash his hands, quickly say Birkot HaTorah, walked over to the bookshelf, grabbed the sefer off the shelf, oh, perfect! And then, like, kids are all standing there, like, Abba, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? Just like you guys are sitting right there. So a few of the kids are sitting there, Abba, what's going on? And, nothing going on. So Rabbi Yaakov Yosef's like, Abba, what happened? And he's like, I'll tell you the truth, last night at 3 in the morning, I was learning, and I found a stira in the Shut HaRivash. The Rivash was a contemporary of the Tashbetz. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Sheshat was a contemporary of the Tashbetz. He came to Algeria first, and he became the rabbi there. And the Tashbetz came over and overturned everything that he did while he was the rabbi there. It was politics, whatever, okay. But the Rivash is Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Sheshat. When I was in Eretz Yisrael a few years ago, I took a taxi from Yerushalayim back to Shalvim. And the cab driver was asking me and my family, what's your last name? I said, Javahari. He's like, oh, what's this? I'm Parsi. He's like, okay, fine, good. I said, what's your last name? He said, Bar Sheshat.
No.
I'm like, your grandfather's name was Sheshat? Saba Shalcha, yeah, Sheshat? Like, no. Saba Shali, Haya Harivash. That's incredible. Such a Yichus. Last 600 years of Yichus. Going back, Bar Sheshat is his last name. So the Rivash is only one volume of Shelut Tshuvot. Tashbetz is two volumes. Fine, two volumes of Shelut Tshuvot. Not as much as Tashbetz, like five. Only two volumes for the Rivash. The Rivash writes two different things, contradicts himself about some halacha about minhagim. In one place he's very fond of minhagim, in another place he says minhagim are gainam. And Ravadi said, I don't know what to do. It was stira, contradiction. So I thought of a yeshuv, a resolution, I wrote it down, and I went to sleep at 3:30 in the morning. In my dream, an old man comes to me and says, my name is Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Sheshat. You found the contradiction, and you should know, I thought of it too. I wrote it down in a different siman. So when Ravadia woke up, he went and he found it. And it was there. So Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef said, most people, Talmid Chachamim, Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef. Rabbi Yaakov Yosef was still alive also. But Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef said, that most Talmid Chachamim are patur from saying, Kriyat Shema Shel Amita. Because they're thinking right before they go to sleep, so they don't need to have Torah samuch to their sleeping. Some Talmidei Chachamim are so great that they're learning even in their sleep, like my father. That was why he told the story. So it happens, it's a very nice idea of a dream. Does this dream have any difference than halakha al-ma'aseh? No. Nice Dvar Torah. Very nice story to tell. So other chachamim have dreams and they tell them Perushim ala Torah. It's not such a nafkamina. But what happens when a dream comes and tells me halakha? Dream comes and says, oh yeah, you said this thing is mutar yesterday, it's actually asur, you're going to get enam for telling the people that it's mutar. So the rabbi wakes up and he tells everyone it's actually asur. Is that okay? We have a Gemara in Masechet Baba Metziah. The Gemara says in source number 6. The Gemara says in Masechet Baba Metziah, it's a story. The Gemara tells a story about the Achnai Tanur, furnace. The Gemara talks about Tuman Taura. And there was a machloket. Second line, Tana. The Otayom. He says, Hishibibi Eliezer called Shibosh Baulam, Loki Blue Menu. That day, there was a machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. The Chachamim said that the halacha is that a tanur, this furnace, is Tameh. And Rabbi Eliezer said it's Tahor. So Rabbi Eliezer tried his best to answer all of the questions that they asked on him. And the Gemara tells us four instances where he said, if the halakha is like me, then this miracle should happen. The river should turn backwards. Or the carob should grow. Or the walls of the Beit Midrash should fall. Or a bakul should come out and say, the halakha is like me. And each time it happened. And the Chachamim said, we don't bring proofs from these things. And when the bakul came out, look at source number 4, Chazar ve'amar lahem, im halakha kem otiv, the halakha follows me, min ha-shamayim yochichu, they should prove min ha-shamayim. Yatzata bat kol v'amira, a bat kol, a heavenly voice, came out and said, Malachem etzel Rabbi Eliezer. What are you bothering Rabbi Eliezer for so much? Shehalacha kemalto v'chol makom. Halacha always follows Rabbi Eliezer, says the heavenly voice. Amad Rabbi Yoshua, al raglav, Rabbi Yoshua got up, v'amar, he said, lo v'ashamayim hi. Pasuk, the end of Sefer Devarim. Lo v'ashamayim. It's not how the Torah is not in heaven. Mechila, we don't care what you say. The halacha belongs to us. The halacha belongs to Chachamim. We're in charge of interpreting the halacha. So Gemara says, second line after number 4, first line after number 4, my lo b'shamayimi, what does that mean, lo b'shamayimi? I'm a Rabbi Yirmiyah, shekvar nitina Torah mehar Sinai. The Torah was given in Har Sinai. Ein anu mashkichim mevat kol, so we don't care about heavenly voices. Shekvar katafta b'har Sinai v'torah, we follow the majority. This halacha is very interesting. On one hand, so you should never listen to a heavenly voice. You should never listen to a dream in halacha. Or any other heavenly interaction between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam, or his messengers. But look at Eruvinu Yud-Gimel, the Gemara says that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel fought it out. We're short on time, so I have to say it outside. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel fought it out for years. And they couldn't figure out whom does the halacha follow. So the Gemara says, a batkol came out and said, Elu ve'elu divrei Elohim chayim. Halacha ke Beit Hillel. They're both true. They're both Torah Hashem. But the halacha follows Beit Hillel. Following a batkol? A second ago I told you, I don't follow batkol. Ein mashkichim the batkol. We don't care what they say.
No, you follow batkol.
And now you follow it. What happened? So some say, this is quoted by the Kesef Mishnah, some say, you do follow a batkol when you can't figure it out.
Yeah, because he had an angel
running. Uh-huh. Okay. And I don't, he's not quoting from the angel, though.
Obviously, he's going to say that.
He's not quoting the angel, though. He's not quoting the angel, though. This is one yeshuv given, that when you have the kalim, you have the tools to figure it out yourself, so lo b'shamayim, figure it out. But if you're b'shamayim b'tilah, you're gridlocked. You're stalemate. There's nothing more to do.
Why were they stalemate and not
Rabbi Ezra? Because by Rabbi Ezra and Chachamim, follow the rope. You have the majority, the Chachamim are the majority. And even though Beit Shammai were the majority, there was a reason to think that you should follow Beit Hillel. Because Beit Hillel were Mechadid Eitvei. They were, I think the answer was that because the Beit Hillel was much stronger in learning than Beit Shammai, even though they weren't the majority. So halacha usually is that you follow the majority. But let's say it's Rav Ben Chaim, Rav Eliyahu Ben Chaim, and me and a few of my friends in the room. Rav Ben Chaim says, halacha asur, whatever the case is. And three of us say, mutar. Two of us say, mutar. Whom does halacha follow? Rav Ben Chaim. Why? What happened to majority? It's a very important Ramban in Masachet Sanhedrin. You only follow the majority when everything is equal. When you have a gadol b'Torah and you have a pipsqueak, you don't follow even 100 pipsqueaks. When I gave this in Greinach, I said, "You have, imagine you have 1,000 public school kids and they all want to play Fortnite on Shabbat. So they paskin it's putar to play Fortnite on Shabbat. And you have Rabbi Shechter in a room, on the other side of the room saying it's asur. Whom does halacha follow? Rabbi Shechter, because he's the Tamei Chacham, and the public school kids unfortunately haven't learned yet. They have to learn, and they want to play Fortnite, so they should learn enough, and then they can paskin on Fortnite also. Bezad Hashem. But you can't, if it's not even, then you can't follow the majority.
This is against Rav
Avadya. About what?
It's all how he brings a list of 200, 300
Rishonim, yeah.
Like smaller rabbis against the big, the core.
Okay, so gotta bring examples. So it's a good taina. Rabbi Yonitz makes that type of taina also. You gotta bring examples. It's a good point. Gotta write teshuvot. Argue. Rav Chaim loves it when people write. So you should write something. See what he says. He loves it, mamash. Anyway, summer he was so like into every other day. He's like, I'm exaggerating, but like, he was so into me writing things this summer. It's so interesting. Anyway, so let's move on. So one interpretation is that if you can't figure it out, you tried your best. So then the Baal Kol comes and says you follow Beit Hillel. Otherwise, you have to figure it out yourself. And then you could apply this to a number of other cases also where we do follow a Baal Kol. At the end of the day, though, the halachic literature is littered with instances of people following Baal Kols or Ruach HaKodesh, their dreams, and all sorts of things. So, I know I have the Rishut. Okay, is that a shan? So I came a minute late also. So the halachic literature is littered with instances of people following Ruach HaKodesh, Eliyahu Navi, Baal Kols, and you have to explain all of them. Rav Reuven Margaliot, who was a librarian in the Rambam, in the Rambam library in Tel Aviv for a number of years, he was a tremendous Tamei Chacham because he had a library, and he learned a ton. So he quotes all the sources in the world on whatever topic he's writing about. He has a number of important svarim, Margaliot Hayam on Masachet Sanhedrin, when you're zochet to learn Masachet Sanhedrin. You got to get a Margaliot Hayam. Looks like this, it's just a little bit thicker. And you got to learn Masachet Sanhedrin with it. So he wrote a sefer on, and in the Hakdama, at least in the Hakdama of the Shut Min HaShemayim, one of the Baalei HaTosafot, one of the Rabbeinu Yaakov Mimoroi, wrote a sefer called Shut Min HaShemayim. Questions and Answers Min HaShemayim. He had thoughts while he was awake, he had questions. He did all sorts of sigulot before he went to sleep, and he went to sleep and he had an answer given to him in his dream. And he wrote it down in a book. It's called Shut Min HaShemayim. We lost a number of them. Rav Margaliot writes in his incredibly long Hakdama that there were like 400 teshuvot, and we only have like 80. In fact, it looks like a thick sefer, but the first half is just the Hakdama. The actual Shelot teshuvot only start like right here. So,
crazy one.
Huh? So we're going to do the first one. It's the craziest one. The craziest one. But we'll get there in a second. Rav Margaliot.
Why is Hakdama so long?
Huh?
Why is Hakdama so long?
Because he runs through Shas, Poskim, Rishonim, stories, everything, and tells you there was like 7 examples where people followed a Baal Kol. 8 more where you have stories written down where Eliyahu Navi came and told them the halacha and they followed it. Or this and that. And he gives you all these examples. You have to figure out how do you explain all these things. So Rav Margaliot works very hard and shows you how it's very mikubal in Jewish literature, halachic literature, to do this. And the very first teshuvah from the Shut Min HaShemayim is the most controversial one. So you can take a guess what it's about. No? It happens so many times a year. Women saying a beracha on mitzvot aseh shehazman gerama, women saying a beracha on time-bound mitzvot, such as lulav, shofar, and the like. It's the very first shiva in the Shut Min HaShemayim. So, in Shulchan Aruch, we hold like the Rambam, you're not chayav to do a mitzvah, you ain't making a bracha on it, even if you're doing it. Asur, 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 beracha levatala, isur deoraita, according to the Rambam, except for the Chazanish's interpretation of the Rambam, which if you have a per hador and you think it's really the Rambam, so then it's not true. So the Rambam, very first Sheila, so I can't read it for you inside, but the first line is, v'chi ach sherei dara. You want to know if women can say a beracha in these mitzvot? What are they so from? And we're living in the utopian world of Torah. If they want to say a bracha, let them say a bracha. It's okay. And in Hashemayim, they told them it's okay. So the chidah, in at least 3-4 places, says that had the Shulchan Aruch seen this Shut Min HaShemayim, he would have been okay with women saying a beracha on mitzvot aseh shehazman gerama. So So the Chida says, I used to be Eish Lahava against it. But when I saw this Shu'b Minash Shamayim, okay, this is what they said, Minash Shamayim. So I couldn't say no. And some say the Chida even encouraged it after that. Depends on how you read the different parts of the Chida. So it's crazy. The Chida says that you can do this. So many poskim write, Yisif Chet Tzedek, Rav Yitzchak Nissin, the Menishchai, right, how once the Chidah's Torah came to Baghdad, the Chidah was accepted all the way. And that's why you see many Middle Eastern Sephardic women saying a Beracha on Nitzorah Seisha as one Geramah, like Lulav. At the same time, others say we don't like the Chidah in general. And Rav Avadia writes a 20-page Teshuvah in Chelek Aleph of Yavya Omer to attack the Chidah. And first he spends on 20 pages in Chelek Aleph, Siman, Mem Aleph, and Mem Tet. He makes arguments that, first of all, halachically it's not true. And it's against the Minhag. Women are not supposed to say Baracha, Am Nisra, Seisha, Azman, Gerama. Anyway, Lo B'Shamayim Hi. That's the second Teshuvah. Lo B'Shamayim Hi. And he discusses Lo B'Shamayim Hi and all of its applications and ramifications. And how, at the end of the day, like Rabbi Ralph said, you don't listen to a single thing that the dreams tell you. And if it turns out to be true, mazal tov. But otherwise...
That's what Rabban said.
Yeah.
Same his story.
Huh? That's what he did. It turned out to be true. There's no nafkamina halacha. Ravadi rejects the idea of asking for permission. He says, according to the Rambam, the Shu'b Minash Shamayim is not via Sheker. And he proves how the Shulchan Aruch would accept that interpretation of the Rambam. So if you're telling me that this is Navi Sheker, and Maran holds of it also, so when the Chida says that had Maran seen the Shu'b Minash Shamayim, he would have agreed with it, it's not true. He wouldn't have done it. Therefore, Rav Avadia says, this isn't Nivuah. You're not going to change the halacha. We're not going to follow the halacha. Navi Asheker. Navi Asheker. So therefore, Rav Avadia says, get rid of it, and if you don't learn it, you can learn it. You don't have to follow it, though. We never follow anything he says. There's so many other teshuvot that we don't follow. So why are you about to start following it now? Finally, Rav Avadia just has a great line. It's like, I don't remember what year this teshuvah was written in, but Rav Avadia is a mamash, such a beautiful line. He's like, are these women even saying Birkat HaMazon? Like, they're so concerned that they're gonna, about saying a Beracha on shaking the lulav that they're not chayavin. But when they have pizza and they have their meal on Shabbat, are they right? Are they gonna say Birkat HaMazon? Are they gonna say all their other Berachot, Asher Yatzar, and the rest? Like, how from are these women in the first place? Kalama! Feminism!
He writes it.
Amar. Like,
if it doesn't. Sorry. If the dream has no nafkamina, Rabbi says not to even listen to the dream.
No, you can.
It ends up happening, it happens.
Yeah.
But then why do we have to do a hatara if somebody has a nidui in his dream?
Right. So Rabbi says, first of all, we have that Tashbetz is accepted. Questions in terms of...
Yeah.
I think Tashbetz is fine.
He says, do the hatara.
Yeah, you should have to after the tara. Gemara says.
If you have three random guys, it has to be like...
Yeah.
Ten.
Three of your friends. Three
for nidui anytime. That's why we do 10 people for Hatar Nidari.
No, not the Nidori, though.
Hatar Nidari? For Hatabat Chalom, for making the dream good. Yeah, you need three people, yeah.
You need three.
Yeah, but we can talk about that another time. Let's just finish off, though.
Okay. No,
no problem. I should do that for Rabbi Cohen. Sorry. So basically, Rabbi Adi says, Choshesh b'makom Yisur Sakana. I wrote the word Yisur. I don't know why. It's a good question. You have to be Choshesh b'makom Sakana. If a dream is a Gilui Milta, it's just revealing to you what is in the world, that's not called a nevuah, that's not Yishuv Lo B'Shamayim, it's just telling you what exists. Telling you the mitzvah, that's v'seder gamor. He even says it's okay to ask, but you're not chayav to follow the questions and answers you get in your dreams. So we're not chayav to follow the Shuv Minash Shamayim either. Just because the Rambam says it's a Navi HaShekher, doesn't mean we have to assume it's a Navi HaShekher. Just, you can ask, but you don't have to follow it. Even amongst the Ashkenazim, it's not so accepted, the Shuv Minash Shamayim. And just ain't kol chadash tachad hashemesh. No, feminism is not a new problem, and it's not hasn't gone away yet. It's funny how Ravadi wrote about it, you know, I don't know how many decades ago, and it's still here, Baruch Hashem, alive and well. So let's just do a quick review. We discussed the dreams in the parasha, and that led us to thinking about dreams in general. We have gemaras and berachot that are pro, but limitedly pro towards dreams. Gemara and Sanhedrin, that's totally fine forgetting about all your dreams, just even if they happen to be true. You don't have to follow it. Gemara Nidarim about Choshesh Makom Sakana. We discussed the Bat Kol and other things out very quickly, with, and we had a Yishuv. We had the Lobe Shemayim HiGemara, and Torah Tanur Shalach Nai, and then we discussed Halacha Lamaseh, when you have Shuv Min HaShemayim, and other such Sefarim, whether or not we have to believe them or not. Any questions before we conclude? No. Yeah.
Are there any other answers when we had like the Machloken and the Sanhedrin and the
Kohen
and Sharm? Like we said that one answer is Sakana, that if Sakana, then
right.
you have to be strict and assume that
right.
it wasn't like the garbage brought
yeah.
or whatever. Were there any other answers?
I don't remember. I have to double check. I can tell you where to look. And
so Yosef HaTzadik never got the level of being a Navi.
No. Yosef HaTzadik is on the list of Nevi'im. You have to look. Gemara Megillah and Daf Yudal Amud Bet. You have to check the list. He's on the list of Nevi'im. I don't remember anymore. So, I think it's Yudal. The Rashi over there. Yeah, Yudal Amud Bet. There was 55 Nevi'im. 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'od. So, no?
Yeah.
I have to double. I think it's Machloket Rashi and the Gra. How to do the list? Huh?
I saw a list. And it said that it was Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. I don't know if it said Yosef.
I don't remember. Either.
Remember, but I don't think.
What did Howard just say about the
Maran's Magid? Maran's Magid. I haven't invested in that yet. You know who knows about that?
Who?
Rabbi Mamet. John Mamet.
I don't know who that is.